When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the anthem. We take our shirts off.
We take our shirts off.
These are the plantains.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Champions League edition. I have with me, as always, my co-host, Dean and Coach. How are y'all doing today, fellas? Guess the answer is not going to get answered.
I am cold. Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah, okay. I'm cold.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad.
I can feel it.
I'm sad. Like, that was an opportunity, but we're here to talk about some good football. Let's do this.
I'm not gonna hold you. I wasn't trying to be in a group chat today. I was like, hey man, I'm not here today. I'm leaving. I was like, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow, but
don't worry, I'll fix that permanently. Don't worry about it.
I'm about to be on the next United pod, that's for sure. So
hey man, listen, you better learn how to pronounce Haji right, because we're gonna learn that too when he scores a hat trick. But it's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the Champions League. Madrid and Man City today ended 1-1, 4-4 in aggregate, and Madrid won in penalties. When we get started, I'm going to tell you guys how I watched this game. I was watching with a Madrid fan, and I was end up saying, Hala Madrid y nada más. I don't know why I was saying that, but the hater in me did not want City to win that much. I was speaking Madrid language. So... very happy. The first leg, though, man, the first leg was insane. We had a bunch of goals that defied logic, bunch of goals that defied XG, just amazing bunch of goals that happened in that first one. Didn't get to ask you guys, well, which one was your favorite from the first leg? Which goal did you guys enjoy the most? I know we had the Foden goal, we had the Guardiola goal, we had the
Valverde.
Valverde's goal. Yeah, I was trying to remember his name. I don't know why I remember his face, but yeah, which one of those goals was your favorite?
I think Valverde's was the best one, you know. Yeah, I think Valverde was the best one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Rodrigo's goal best, personally. That's just me, though. Yeah. Like, that was a good run. Nice finish. Trickled in. Gave the fans hope that something else might happen, but nothing was happening. It was a goal.
That goal was insane. That goal was insane. I just like the way, Valverde strikes the ball, man. It's art. I'm just like, it always stays.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Steven Gerrard in that regard. Like, whenever Valverde hits the ball with the same venom, and the ball just seems to, by the time it hits the net, you feel like it could go through another three or four goals, basically.
Yeah, it's still Roberto Carlos. It's still Roberto Carlos. I was trying to think who had the hardest shot I've ever seen. It's still him.
Yeah, Roberto Carlos' shot was hard as fuck. Pause. That sounded crazy. I'm sorry for that. But yeah, that was 3-3. That was insane. That was just, last week was just, all them goals are insane. But today, Rodrigo, the Guyanese or Bangladesh, depending on how you see his face, because he's definitely not Brazilian, I'll tell you that much. He's from Georgetown, definitely a pepper pot ass nigga. That's what he is. He opened up the scoring. That first touch from Jude was, I mean, that was immense. Yeah. Jude's first touch found Vinny and Rodrigo at first chance. He missed it, but he was there to tap in the rebound. And, you know, for me, I was like, okay, I think that they're going to do it. And then, go ahead, Coach.
Would you think that was a lucky goal?
No.
You don't think it was a lucky goal?
No.
Okay. We're going to circle back to it, I promise you.
Let's talk about it. Why would it be a lucky goal? What's so lucky about it?
He hit it directly at the goalkeeper and it came directly back to him.
Yeah, man, because he was that close to the goal.
So you don't think
that's, it happens.
You don't think that's any, you don't think that's, I'm not saying obviously it didn't work, it was a fantastic work goal. I'm talking about the actual finish itself. It was, I think there was a huge slice of luck there.
I don't know. I think he just reacted well.
All I'm saying is you make your luck, and he made his luck.
I promise you, we're gonna circle back to that. I trust my ass.
Hey man, you're not changing my mind, motherfucker. I don't care how many face masks you got on your head. I don't give a fuck. You don't scare me, you fucking robber. Carry on, Tosin.
KDB equalized in the 76. But listen, Madrid defending with their lives, man. I was genuinely proud of them. Like, that was a defensive masterclass. And I know we talk about Rudiger is very good, and Carvajal has been a stand of excellence on their right back side, and Ferland Mendy. I'll say this, Ferland Mendy today reminded me of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I don't know why. He was so scared to go forward, but defensive-wise, he was great. But the person stood out to me the most out of every Madrid player today was Nacho. Because when I saw Nacho's name in the starting 11, I was like, that might be a weak spot, but he actually was like their bright spot. Nacho did very, very well today. He did well, and his penalty he scored was a great penalty. So hands up to Nacho, man. He did very well today. What did you guys think about the defensive actions today with Madrid?
I couldn't tell you because I didn't watch the game. I caught highlights here and there, but yeah.
Coach was actually in Munich. He's in Munich right now. Tell the people, man. Show off. I know you're sad and shit, but I mean, come on, man. You spend all that plane money. You better stun on these hoes, nigga. Fuck wrong with you.
It might have been the cheapest flight I've spent money in like fucking 5 years. I don't know.
What's the UK equivalent? What's the UK equivalent of Spirit Airlines?
It's Ryanair, right?
It's Ryanair. It's actually Ryanair. Fuck you. Oh, it is.
That's mega bus in the air.
No, for real, it actually is black.
So wait, I have a question. Go on. Did they make y'all bring your own seatbelts on the plane, or how does that work?
No, you got to make them when you get there. So. I'm not even joking. No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, Madrid was insane defensively today. I mean,
what's his name? Lunin made a shit ton of saves, though.
Like, he did.
So I don't know how much credit I want to give Madrid. It felt like there was an element of luck involved in some of the finishing, you know, like on a different day, City are a little luckier, but fuck them.
I'm going to give you guys a stat since we're talking about, shots. Man City attempted as many shots as Madrid had possession.
33. Fuck me. but you know what, yeah? Even though I didn't watch the game, here's the thing about City, yeah? And why I think, ultimately, when Pep goes, it's just going to be the drop-off. I don't think it's going to be, like, I don't think they're going to end up, like, fighting relegation for that. But to uphold those standards is going to be so ridiculously hard because there isn't another coach in the world like Pep that demands this level of, from his players, basically. Like, he's got all the best players already, but he's demanding an extra 110% out of them anyway. Kind of thing, to the extent where a team that's filled with stars like Cruz, Camavinga, Tchouameni, Rodrigo, Vinicius kind of thing, can end up looking and having to play that in a way that it's not befitting of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's unnatural for me to see Real Madrid have to play like that. Now, I get we've got an all-time coach in Ancelotti as well, who can adapt his team like that. But another coach coming in, I'm not being funny, he's not getting this much out of those City players. It's frankly impossible.
It's respect. Pep is Pep. But yeah. I feel like there are already a couple guys showing signs. I mean, like, Leverkusen consistently hit 30 shots per game this
year. Yeah, but I'm talking about doing it to Real Madrid. Like, every time City have faced Real Madrid in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, to my mind, City have always been the favourites. Because of what Pep demands when he plays. Now I don't think ultimately City have more talent. I think they're a better side, basically. And he even closes that gap even more from what he demands from his players. So whoever comes in after Pep, basically, like, I personally can't see how that another coach comes in and says, do you know what, Bernardo Silva, you're going to play as this, that, and the other kind of thing. Like, there's a chance I saw that he missed today, that Bernardo Silva missed today from a Haaland header. He was in the poacher's area of the 6-yard box kind of thing. But then I can imagine the next, I've watched City so many times, but I can imagine the next play, he's picking the ball up from his centre-back kind of thing. Like, the way Pep structures these teams and with these players kind of thing, I can't imagine these players trying to kill themselves for another coach. It just doesn't work that way. You know, I can't see that.
They are professionals, so yeah. They'll have to do something. And listen, it's impossible to follow arguably the best coach ever. It's just impossible. This is what I'm saying.
Like, it's not going to be some sort of like, oh no, City are in real danger.
I mean, we have a live example of this, man. Why you begrudging? I mean, Manchester United. That's them. That's exactly them. Alex Ferguson left. They've been shit since. City might go through something similar, but I doubt it because of their infrastructure.
Yeah, you literally just went in a circle and just could have said United stink. That's all you could have said. Looney was great in the penalty shootout. Edison had some cojones on him to take that penalty, though. Fair play to Edison. I mean, when you have a neck tat that big, of course you're going to do something insane like that. So, you know, it is what it is.
Isn't he like, what, 22, 23, Looney, as well? I feel like, for some reason, I feel like...
No, he's 26.
26?
Yeah.
Goalkeepers are always sneaky old like that. Like,
yeah, like, I was gonna say,
he's 25. He's 25. Yeah, excuse me.
It feels like he's been around for years. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, he's been at Madrid since 2018. Obviously came from Ukraine, but he went on a couple of loans. Valladolid, Oviedo, Leganes.
I remember when those loans. I feel like, yeah, he's been around for ages, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's Madrid's number one now. I mean, like, sorry, Thibaut, but, like, you got a lot.
When they bought Kepa, I was confused. I was like, I know you guys want the experience, but it's very obvious to me that Lunin is better than him. From just the few times I'd seen him in La Liga, I'm like, way better than Kepa.
And Kepa was confused, too. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, listen, overall, I mean, that was a ridiculous game. That's the only thing I can say is just, like, both legs were just kind of showed like two different sides of the team. I think that the one thing I was upset with Carlo about, but he's Carlo. I can never question Carlo. It's like, I knew that goal was coming because like I could tell they needed to switch it up in the midfield a little bit. But, you know, Carlo's Carlo and he is who he is. So, you know, they did what they did. I just kind of saw Toni Kroos was getting leggy a bit. I was like, yeah, he looks every bit of his age. But, you know.
I mean, chasing them City boys will make anybody feel old.
Yeah.
Which was your favorite of the penalties, Tosin?
Nacho.
Nacho? What did he do exactly again? Can you describe that for me again, please?
Just blasted the bitch. I don't know what else to say.
I didn't doubt him walking up. Well. I can't remember it in my head.
Actually, no. It's going to be Vasquez.
Yes, I was going to say Vasquez was my favorite.
Vasquez does this thing before he like takes a penalty, like flips the ball around. But yeah, Vasquez was my favorite aesthetically. I think from a mental perspective, Rudiger's was mine because I thought Valverde was going to step up. I didn't expect Toni Rüdiger to come up and, like, you know, do what he did. But fair play to Toni Rüdiger. Go ahead, coach.
Mine was Bernardo Silva, so I can't even laugh. I'll be very real with you, man. The look on his face after, yeah, I think was probably the moment of the night. Because I think he knew in that moment he fucked up.
Yeah. His face said, "These niggas have data." Like, bro, the Arsenal game ended before the Real Madrid game, obviously, and they had extra time. So I had time to just sit at my desk, sad about the fact that Arsenal lost. And I was like this in my chair. Then I saw him miss that penalty, and I was like this. he put the life back into me. So pathetic. Because Real Madrid already missed. So he just turned the whole momentum of the shootout and ruined it for them.
You know that meme where like the guy's dead on the floor and it like kind of revived and he starts getting up and dancing again? That was you.
I'm thinking of the gaming meme. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Oh, the game. Yeah, that one works too. Let's talk about a game from yesterday. Barcelona PSG 1-1. Well, we finished 4-1 PSG, 6-4 in aggregate. That red card messed everything up. I think that's the biggest thing I could say. Is like,
what do you mean messed everything up? What does that mean? Was it a red or not?
It was a red. No. Okay.
Messed up. Okay, remember when a team in yellow went to Nou Camp at this stage of the Champions League?
I know, I understand.
And Robin Van Persie kicked the ball after a whistle that he didn't hear in a loud stadium.
No, what I'm saying.
Xavi said, those are the rules. The rules are the rules. So yeah, the rules are the rules now. It was a red card. Araujo is a fucking clown.
What I'm saying is I didn't say messed it up in a way that, you know, that was negative. I meant it messed it up for Barcelona. That's what I meant to say. Excuse my English. Sorry. It made it well for me. I'm happy to get that record. I saw it and I was just like, Araujo, adios, amigo. But coach, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I'm quite disappointed because I still even think Barcelona were and are the better side, and they were I think they were pretty much cruising, to be honest. And then the red card missed, I wouldn't say missed up the tie, it messed up Barcelona, because for two reasons. Mbappe was doing a lot of work off the ball, which is fine, kind of thing. It made life difficult for Barca, but remember, they're chasing the game, so they're trying stuff in it, right? And yeah, I know it ended up meaning that, you know, pressure was funneled down Araujo's side, which is, again, it's fine, it's whatever, but they're 1-0 up and at home. Yeah, when two elite teams go at each other, you're going to have periods in the game where you're not on top, the opponent, and you're going to have moments where you are on top of the opponent, kind of thing. It's just one of those moments where, in that moment, Barcola got ahead of Araujo, and that essentially won them the tie, kind of thing. But Barcelona were, to me, were every bit as good value up until that point, basically. I don't feel as if Barca did anything wrong, per se. You know, it's just, you know, Luis Enrique tried some shit with the way he made his front three press. Again, very clever. But Dean, you'll get on in that, I promise. You'll get some, I promise, bro. But
I'm pissed off, right? I don't like all this Barcelona credit, man. It's
Rafinha had never scored a Champions League goal until last week. Like,
you know why he scored? Go on. He had fresh braids, that's why.
Oh, boy, it is what it is. But he's
durag, baby.
All of the things that, you know, we accused PSG of, you know, not really being able to do it against the real, real big sides, kind of thing. Barca were actually kind of schooling them, I think, for most of this tie. Well, at least most of the first leg, and then some of the second leg before the red card. That's just my opinion. But I really do think Barca were really good value up until then.
I think they were arrogant. I think that was the issue. Because the way they got their goal, the way they got their goals in the first leg, plain direction.
Yeah.
And they got home and thought that they're going to do that Barcelona shit. They picked a very beautiful midfield.
Yeah.
I liked it on paper. I told you Vitinha was going to fuck them anyway. Beautiful midfield. They start doing this shit. And the way, as you mentioned, rightly so, Luis Enrique had his team pressing. Araujo was the passer from the back. He's not very good at that. And that's what cost them the goal. And that's what cost them the game. So for me, their arrogance did them in. I wasn't impressed by the fact that they were trying to keep the ball at the Montjuic or whatever that stadium's called, because that's not what won them the first leg in the first place. Just play the way you won the game. Like, why are you changing it up? Because I don't know. I just thought it was arrogant from Xavi, and they deserved everything they got, and I enjoyed that so much. And it's so funny that Kylian gets two goals, even though he didn't really do much in the game. Like, they actually defended, even when he ran down, they defended him well.
Let me tell you something about Kylian's two goals. Guess what Man City could have used today from their star striker? Two goals. Guess what Kylian did? Two goals. So kiss my ass. He did what he had to do and he scored. Okay? I don't want to hear none of that Kylian didn't play well. His job is to put the ball in the back of the net. I don't care if he has a 1 out of 10 thing. If he puts the ball in the back of his net, that's his job, and he did his job. Well done. Penalty and whatever it is.
I'm not going to let you run with that logic, man, because that's how people started talking about Haaland Ballon d'Or. I don't want to hear that shit. Fuck all that back of the net bullshit.
I had a long...
Football is football. You must play football, I beg. Sorry.
In one of my groups, I had a long conversation as to why he should not win the Ballon d'Or. They kept telling me, but goals. I was like, do you think he's the best player in the world? And it was just...
If goals counted, then... Inzaghi would have won a Ballon d'Or, but that's neither here nor there.
But they kept dancing around the facts that, oh, but you won a treble. I was like, yeah, but so did KDB and so did Bernardo Silva. Do these guys deserve the Ballon d'Or as well? Probably more than Haaland, to be fair, because they're better footballers. But even then, like, there's no way that you can look at me in the face in the last 2 years and say there's been a better footballer on the planet than Kylian Mbappe. There's just, there's no. He's clear of everybody. So, yeah, having a bad game and still walk away with two goals in the Champions League quarterfinal, that's the level of the best, simple as.
I will say this. The one thing that made me so happy was seeing Rich Homie Kwan and, what's it called, Babyface Ray just taking them to hell yesterday. That was very fun.
Yeah, Barcola is a weird one. I'll tell you why, because if you're looking at all the elite French attacking talents kind of thing that are going to be lining up in the Euros kind of thing, I still don't think he makes it, you know, to the first team.
He's young. He's very young.
He's gone to the Olympics, man.
But he's really, really, really damn good. Like, outrageously good. And I don't feel like he's anywhere near that first 11 for France at all.
No, he's going to the Olympics, bro.
I know. But, yeah. You know, it's just one to think about anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that made me laugh the most was seeing, you know, Dembele on the bench, like real hate. Like, he's barely scored any goals this season, but he saved his best for this. And it's wonderful, man. It's wonderful to see what hating gets you, like how far it can fuel and traject you. Like, his whole heart was just full of just like, I got something for all you Knicks. Every last one of you in this stadium, I got something for you. So it's nice. It's nice to see that.
Yeah. I mean, they were booing him, so he deserved every moment. Every moment. Goals in both legs. Fuck y'all.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dortmund and Atletico Madrid. I really thought Dortmund was going to go full unserious. Like, I was genuinely, like, concerned for them. I was like, wow, you guys are fully just unserious. Yeah. But this is the first time. I mean, not first time. You know when was the last time Atletico Madrid made it to Champions League final? I mean, semifinal?
2014?
17. It's been 7 years since they've made it. And I think, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that this run is over for them? Do you think that, like, you know, they need to retool? Like, what do you think is going on next for Atletico Madrid?
I mean, if I see Witzel line up as centre-back for them next season again, then, yeah, they're absolutely cooked. So... I think it's been a noble and valiant effort from Simeone. They've got the new stadium as well. You know, like, they should be going in the right direction. You know, but yeah, this team, I feel like this iteration of Atleti anyway needs a refresh. You can't keep trotting out Morata, bro. Like, don't take the fucking piss, man.
They've started the process. I mean, they bought that Belgian kid. What's his name? Arthur Vermeer? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So they got him. They got someone else recently. I'm forgetting another young player. So I think they've sort of started the slow rebuild. They know too. They're not expecting much out of this team, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean,
it's Morata, you know. Like, that miss. Oh my goodness.
At the very beginning of the game. You remember what we talked about in the group chat, right? We talked about it. And I looked at it. I was like, excuse me. Like, I tweeted this years ago, and I wish I kept it up. I said that I want everybody in this world to find somebody who believes in him the way coaches believe in Morata.
Yeah.
Like, if you had the support system Morata has in his life, he'd be so great in life. I don't know how over and over again this guy gets chances, but I respect it.
He's played in the Champions League literally every year for the last 10, 11 years, bro. Like, how?
Well, that's his level. They can't all be wrong. That's his level. And if that's not his level, let's not act as if we don't realize that the man is handsome as fuck.
I was about to say, pretty people privilege is a real stuff. Thing.
Even pretty when privilege, admit it, they care about that stuff. So
pretty privilege is a real thing because, look, if Harry Maguire looked like Morata, we wouldn't be giving him so much shit. But that's neither.
If Harry Maguire won a fucking trophy, would he give him so much shit? Fuck that guy.
He's got like 6 relegations on his thing. Let's not talk about Harry Maguire. But yeah, okay. So look, Dortmund. I actually felt like this was the worst possible matchup that they could have. Seriously, I think we're talking about arrogance. I think Atleti probably felt as if this one was probably a surefire W. And
can you blame them?
Yeah, of course. I know. But again,
fucking Dortmund.
Dortmund are the poster boys of the Bundesliga. You're never ever supposed to understand Dortmund. You're just supposed to experience them. I'm no disrespect to Füllkrug, but like Füllkrug scored essentially the goal that put them on track to thingy before Sabitzer got the winner, right? And he's not the standard, but it worked yesterday. It absolutely worked yesterday. Sabitzer again. I remember last year for United in the Europa League, he had a couple games where he essentially saved United's bacon. And I thought, oh, that's really nice for him. That's cool kind of thing. And I think he wanted to stay as well. And then it was like, in the end, didn't work out. But then to do it the next year in the Champions League quarterfinal, literally be the difference maker. Again, Dortmund are not supposed to be understood, bro. It doesn't make any sense. Marcel Sabitzer, like, seriously, a Champions League quarterfinal. Come on, man.
All I know is that they should have played this game on the last game of last season.
Yeah.
Because they're not winning this Champions League. I don't care what this Juju is suggesting. They're not fucking winning it. I mean, look at the own goal Hummels scored at the beginning of the second half. Like, bro, it's running out. But jokes aside, I am wildly impressed that nobody, not even the Dortmund players believed that they were coming back from that 2-2.
Not even their mothers believed it.
Yeah. Once Atleti equalized, I don't think anyone thought that they'd get off the mat. And they won it comfortably by the end, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I think Atleti ran out of steam, but also Dortmund are just are such an... They might be the most unpredictable team in Europe. Like, seriously, more than United.
Honestly, I think we should give their fans some credit because they do have a reputation for being a great stadium that signals the park, yellow wall and all that shit. I feel like they basically carried them for the last 20 minutes. They just carried the team. Like, you know what? You gave us something. We're going to take you the rest of the way. It was great, you know. And some fan bases could learn a lesson, but, you know.
No, seriously.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Dortmund's home fans, are, I think, in my experience, top three. Like, they are outrageous. For the whole 90 minutes, you're just going, it's a party. It's nuts kind of thing. And no wonder that the club performs like that, because some days, you know, that carries the team to a win, and some days they probably feel the pressure. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely bonkers, honestly. I would, that's a European away that I would recommend to absolutely anybody. Like, yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna go solo mode real quick. I'm gonna ask you guys a question on the stare in the camera. Let me ask you guys a question. You know what's the most ever goals in a Champions League quarterfinal stages?
What, a single game?
No, like in the overall two legs between like all the like fixtures and just the quarterfinal. I think
it's probably this season.
Then you're correct. 31. Yeah. 31 goals in.
So much for the away goals rule being necessary and shit. I mean, I like this. I don't know about y'all, but I prefer this,
to be honest. Like,
let's talk about away goals. I think that for me, I'm such an old football soul, but like, this has been perfect. This legit was. Hey,
oh, okay. I thought you was about to hate, because I was going to say, you know, United didn't be good for a long time, so you might like that old shit, but you know.
Oh, no. We're moving on, bro.
We're leaving y'all behind, okay?
No. This was perfect. I genuinely really enjoyed, like, this was some beautiful, like, just. Even today was a great hate watch me, but over in general, like, this away goal thing has been great. It's been absolutely phenomenal.
They hate watching, but at least they're still watching. Oh, all of them are Arsenal fans on the low, man. They hate it.
Oh no, it wasn't just y'all. Listen, this is equal hate. Listen,
man, we don't care about nobody else but us. Okay.
And since it is y'all, I'm gonna let my Dr. Melfi on. Y'all go ahead and talk about it. You know what game's coming up next, so
you were there, coach. Go ahead and let the people know what you thought.
Oh man, so first of all, like, this is, I'm gonna infect all of you with positivity, right? But this is the
before you finish, I'm letting you know you're going solo, by the way, so enjoy. This is your stages on you.
that's fine. This is the reality of competing at a top level, that you're going to get to stages like this where things might just not go your way, and it's going to hurt, it's going to sting, because you're going to feel you're so close. Like, you've worked all this way, all of this time to the season, where you get to April now and essentially your season could be over in a week kind of thing. And the season is going to be finishing in like 3 or 4 weeks anyway kind of thing. So you work so hard throughout the year, you smoke all these scenes kind of thing, and then it feels like it comes to nothing by the end of it. But it could have easily been the exact same thing in December and be out of all of these conversations and be out of the Premier League race and stuff like that and be out of the Champions League and whatever kind of thing. And to a lot of people, to a lot of people, after that Fulham game, everyone thought, oh, wow, Porto are going to turn us over. We're not going to get back into the title race kind of thing. And then lo and behold, here we are. Our season, for many people now, is over literally 4 months after that kind of thing. I'm very much of the opinion that It takes a lot to get to where all of these teams are, the final eight, the final four of Europe kind of thing. All of these teams are excellent, they're great, and you're gonna need luck, regardless of how good you are. Real Madrid have won the Champions League 14 times, potentially 15 times. Not all of those were because they're just simply the best. They needed huge slices of luck. And this is why I asked that question about luck, because that Rodrigo goal, to my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, I saw the exact same thing in the flesh at Aston Villa, where Trossard hit the ball directly at the goalkeeper, and it goes in a completely different direction. Not back to Strasbourg.
Thank you.
But to be honest, these are the things that can make or break your season. The same way, if Martinelli opens up his body a little bit more today, that ball goes into the far corner instead rather than into the near post. It's just these little fine details that separate you at these key moments when you're competing to be the best. It's very different to competing to be the fifth or fourth best team in the country, or to be competing in Europa League. You're playing against Jamal Musiala, you're playing against Harry Kane, you're playing against Leroy Sané, you're playing against Manuel Neuer. Is the most terrifying. I've watched Manuel Neuer live, I think, 5 or 6 times now, and he doesn't get any less scary. Like, he is the quintessential villain of every single comic book ever. Like, he's terrifying.
It's so British of you to be scared of a German fucking bitch. Fuck out of here.
No, but seriously, like, overall, like, today, I think the feeling in Munich anyway, like, Bayern Munich fans are used to this shit. That's what I noticed. Like, Bayern Munich fans are just accustomed to this. This is what they do. Arsenal fans, on the other hand, like, obviously we're in another country, you know, whatever, but they're just loud, they're rowdy. It almost kind of feels like they're kind of trying to convince themselves that, you know, they belong here, kind of thing, rather than just, you know, taking in the moment, kind of thing. And I'm not saying it reflected that, it showed in the pitch, kind of thing, because I think Arsenal competed really well today, especially in the first half. But Bayern knew, and they've been here, Bayern knew that a moment will come for them and they'll probably take it, because they've been here so many times. This is a new team and a new manager that haven't missed out on the Champions League God knows how many years. They haven't been battered by Bayern 5-1, you know, 3 times in a row, kind of thing. This is all completely new to them, kind of thing. And it feels like it stings and it hurts, kind of thing. But again, for you to get the luck that you need, that what Madrid had today, kind of thing, you need to be here over and over and over and over again. And this is just a start for Arsenal. Like, you don't win things purely on ability. It takes you to a certain point, and then you need things to go your way, basically. But only way it can go your way is if you're there enough times. That's Coach, it. Yeah,
Coach and Dean, I got questions for you guys. I know everyone made jokes about Saka. I don't subscribe to the Saka jokes. I think you guys stink. I think that when you're saying stupid shit like Cole Palmer's better than Saka, I think you're dumb. But that's neither here nor there. What I noticed Tuchel did today, he had Mazraoui as the left back and he had Guerrero as the left wing. Do you think that played a factor into, like, the way Saka played, or, like, just asking for you guys? Because I know you at the game. I know you watched the game more intently. So just asking for you two.
Honestly, I don't think it was a tactical thing. I mean, it's pretty standard that good wingers get doubled up on. That's just what it is at this level. He's used to that. He often gets through double teams on a weekly basis. I just personally, and maybe this is me making an excuse for him, I don't think he looked fit. Coach, you were there. Did you get the same sense, or am I making this up?
I can't lie. I think he looked fine.
Okay. Or just bad.
Yeah. The thing is, Saka wasn't even bad. I think.
Well, not in the first half. He was good in the first half.
I think there's a couple of things. There's a couple of layers here. I won't feel guilty about making this into an Arsenal pod for the next God knows how many minutes. But I think Arteta, in his quest to make sure Arsenal are a team that don't leak a ton of goals or whatever, our risk factor has actually gone down. I know it sounds crazy, even though we scored a whole bunch of goals, kind of thing, but I think our risk factor has actually gone down. And I think that means Saka probably gets less of the ball in dangerous areas now. The same thing with Martinelli, the same thing for pretty much all of our attackers. There seems to be I wouldn't say a vacuum, but basically Odegaard gets the most touches, which I get and I respect, kind of thing. But funny thing is, on the weekend, Odegaard was taking less touches and releasing the ball really, really quickly. Today, however, though, I don't feel like that happened enough. I felt like he was getting the ball and he was looking for the pass, kind of thing. But sometimes the easy and obvious pass he wouldn't make because, you know, maybe there was an element of, I have to make sure it's a sure thing, rather than let me throw it to this player, let me throw it to Saka and let him figure it out, let him do it. There seems to be, we're almost at this stage too measured, and sometimes in a Champions League you just need to be able to just say, you know what, fuck it, I'll do it myself, kind of thing, or give it to someone that, okay, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where part of the keys to success for Arsenal this season has been reducing risk, controlling games a little bit better, you know, taking the emotion out of things. And as a result, we're just not as threatening, you know, because we don't want to leave ourselves exposed. And that's gotten us pretty far. That's, you know, this is a mature team that can play in different ways, that can change gears. But ultimately, it's small margin football. You know, it's like you're almost deadening the game to make sure that when the moment comes, you take it and there's no other moments in the game because the game is under control anyway. And the problems that we're playing against a team, like you mentioned, even just looking at their fans that have been here before, they do this shit all the time. Like you said, if Martinelli opens his body up, that's a goal. If he doesn't lose track of Kimmich, that's not a goal. You know, it's really that simple sometimes, you know, because I don't think, I think on the balance of the tie, I would say Bayern definitely deserved their win, but Arsenal competed. I didn't, you know, this was not a 5-1 defeat like a generation or two ago, you know, so I can't be mad at anything I saw tonight.
Yeah, I think just to, you know, add to your point, especially with, you know, what our play has done and what the Bayern Munich play has done, is that the way they even carried themselves, you know, Bayern Munich after the game, like, obviously, I know they do it, they go to their wall and go to all their fans camp and celebrate, but there seems to be a lot more emotion in them today. Like, I feel as if that league loss to Bayer Leverkusen really rocked them. I don't know why, you've won it literally so many times, who cares? But it really, really rocked them. And, you know, there was a lot of, like, I was, you know, this guy knew I was an Arsenal fan. Like, I sat down, he goes, Arsenal, I'm like, nah. Basically, he knew I was lying, basically. But we literally just spent the whole game just literally just laughing with each other and whatnot, and just cussing the guy in front of us that kept on standing up. But you know, by the end of it, kind of thing, he was just like, look, you know, Arsenal, like, this Arsenal side, you know, he's a really old guy, so it must be in his 60s. Like, this Arsenal side is not the one that I'm used to seeing. Essentially, like, you know, a lot of respect was paid, kind of thing. I was like, that's nice, kind of thing. And then Tuchel essentially came out and echoed the same thing. You know, it's a bit of pull to swallow that it is. Like, you want to win those games. You want to be the one complimenting the other team, even though you beat them, kind of thing. But the simple fact is that I feel like Arsenal are looked at in a slightly more different light now, which is important. You know, I don't particularly care for it, but I think it's important that externally, like, we're validated in the sense that, okay, Arsenal belong here. Arsenal didn't win today, but for once, I can actually say, look, Arsenal are probably in the top 8 teams in Europe this year. It's been fucking years since I've been able to say that. And I don't want this. I want us to win the Champions League. I want us to win the league, kind of thing. But it's not going to happen the way most people think it's going to happen, kind of thing. It's still going to be a lot of pain. These things take time, unfortunately. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to have that, don't want to be patient and have that and wait, kind of thing. But unfortunately, there's 4 trophies on show every year. There can only be 4 holders of these trophies. It's that simple. Go on.
Listen, guys, it took Pep 7 years to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
At City, with those players, with that money, with that brain. So it's going to take a while.
I'm going to make the mood lighter. The fact that Arsenal lost means that Tottenham more than likely won't get in with the 5th place, and that means that Eric Dier and Harry Kane shut in the old club. So, yay. quickly, before we wrap up, got a couple things I want to talk about. The next round semifinal is going to be Bayern versus Real Madrid. Quickly, just you guys just give me your... Just quickly, you guys tell me how you guys feel about that.
Real Madrid. Yeah, I think Real Madrid did it.
Bayern is not good. That's why this meant so much to them. Because they can't deny it anymore. Yeah. It's clear.
Yeah. And you know why I said they're not good? Because United scored 3 on them. Dortmund versus PSG. Quickly, talk about this one.
Mbappe.
Yeah, it's an NBA series. Best player in the series wins the series. Yeah.
I'll say this much. The final is going to be Real Madrid versus PSG. You know that WWE custody battle?
Yeah.
Custody of Mbappe. That's going to be the Champions League final. last but not least, we got Conference League happening. It's going to be a wonderful hating day for me because Liverpool are down 3-0 to Atalanta. And that makes me so Europa happy. League. Yeah, in the Europa League. That makes me so happy. Beyond more than you can imagine. So Europa League, we have Marseille-Benfica. Benfica up 2-1. Roma and Milan are 1-0, and I'm very intrigued about that. West Ham Leverkusen, Leverkusen up 2-0. Shout out to Boniface for copying what's the goal celebration. The guy with fake dreads. I'm not calling his real name on this podcast. until Kudus gets his hair taken away, I'm not going to call him by his real name. But Conference League, Fiorentina and Victoria Pilsen are 0-0. Leo and Aston Villa is 2-1. Aston Villa up. I'm excited to see that one. Club Brugge and Pauk, 1-0 Club Brugge. And Fenerbahce and Olympiacos, 3-2. Olympiacos is up. The one person I like to see for Club Brugge, and I saw him last week. I watched actually a full Club Brugge game. Don't ask me why I was watching that. Rafael Yandinka, Nigerian midfielder. He's coming to his own. He's really coming to his own. So it's a lot of exciting games and matchups in the Conference League and Europa League. So if you guys want to watch that, there's a lot of good football on. So, yeah, this was the Champions League wrap-up. So you guys got anything else you want to add before we get out of here, fellas? Anything else you want to say? Final words?
I have one more thing. Oh. It's Arsenal-related, unfortunately. But genuinely, it feels good. It feels good that even though we went out in the quarterfinals, we beat a team that we're clearly better than to get there, at least. And that's to you, Porto, and Ko and Chow.
Yeah, suck it. Last thing. Yes or no answers from both of you. Did Xavi make a mistake by taking Yamal off?
No.
When they got the red card? Should he have taken someone else off?
No.
Child labor laws are a real thing, guys. Yeah.
You can't have a 16-year-old chasing around a bunch of grown men with a man down. You're going to hurt the kid. You already did the Pedri. So stop.
Yeah.
I heard grown-ass white men on podcasts today saying he should have taken Lewandowski off. Like, get the fuck out of here, man.
I kind of agree with it.
This is not the 18th century, and the Bermuda Triangle does not exist anymore. Anyways, we're out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. As always, this is me, your host, Tosin, joined by Coach and Dean. Thank you guys so much for always listening and supporting. And also, shout out to Believe once again. We're out. Take it easy, everyone. Peace.
Peace.
Ooh, yeah. This is the anthem.